to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
AMFM shortwave talk radio.
The truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller. We're live with you out of the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network here in Round Rock, Texas. It is Wednesday. It's the 6th of June, 2007. On tomorrow's program, programming note here, I've got Darlene Fitzgerald coming on. She is one of the whistleblowers that spent 20 years of combined law enforcement experience in military, private industry, and a special agent. And in 99, she resigned in protest because she refused to work for an agency that's worse than the people that I put in jail. She was in charge of U.S. Customs Task Force operating an extensive investigation called Operation Right Rail. So you want to tune in tomorrow because she and about 700 other whistleblowers are constantly being harassed by the government. I don't need to tell you about the two border agents that are in jail still as we speak, given 11 and 12-year prison sentences. And she understands it's hips hide in plain sight. Her best protection is getting out there and bumping her gums and telling everybody. She's given, by the way, testimony to committees in Washington, D.C., congressional committees, so they know full well who Darlene Fitzgerald is. And we're going to have her on this program today. I suggest you tune in tomorrow because what I have said before, the only way that the criminals are going to go to jail is when the people that know of their crimes are able to come forth, give testimony, and put their butts in the prison blocks, okay? So this is important, very, very important, that these people are given the right of way to help put the criminals in jail where they belong. And we're in full support of that here at this network. So tune in tomorrow for Darlene Fitzgerald. Coming up in just a couple of minutes today, though, I've got Michael Collins Piper on with us. He writes for American Free Press. He is an independent writer, if you will. He has written many books. And today we're going to be discussing one of the topics that, well, they really don't like to talk about, and that's Zionism or the false flag Judaism. And by the way, I've got a Jewish fellow that's running my show today. Yes, but you're not allowed to come on the air because you're banned. We allow no Jews on this network. No, I'm just teasing you. At any rate, it's not about hate, folks. This is not about trying to whip up Fuhrer against the... Did I use the word Fuhrer as in Adolf? No, not to whip up sediment against the Jews. But we have a problem in this country because there's many things that are being operated and many people are being frozen out of the American system by those that, well, claim to be Jewish, that are actually Zionist, or they are supposedly Jews, but they're secular. And which brings me to a point, is this religion or is this a race or what is it? But we're going to try to dispel some of these rumors and these myths about this, and Michael is one of the people to do it with. He's on this network every evening, folks, from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. And a lot of people do listen to his radio program on this network. So we'll be talking to him in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Oh, a subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about because they don't know how to talk about the subject. You know, I don't see the Vatican trying to pass hate crime laws in this country, ladies and gentlemen. And you may have heard from time to time reports coming out of Europe and Germany that, well, my goodness, there's just all this anti-Semitism being whipped up. No. Translate that as to more people are finding out who the phony Jews are and the Zionists are out there that are using money, power, position, the name itself, to be protected while they keep doing their evil deeds to everybody on the planet Earth. So if I've got a Roman Catholic priest that's a pedophile, is it wrong to go against the Catholic Church for protecting people like this, which they have been doing for hundreds of years, ladies and gentlemen? Make no mistake about that. I think it was back in the 16th or 17th century that priests could marry, but somehow they had to keep themselves pure for God, and homosexuality has been rampant in the Vatican and its diocese around the world for many, many years. You know, you can take the sex out of a man, but you can't take the man out of the sex, I guess, is the way to put it. And to ask a man to go against what God intended him to do, procreate, is I think, a little bit more than what God demanded of us. I think it was the commandments that was the guidelines, and that was just about it. Michael Collins Piper. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing today, John?
Well, I'm up to my eyeballs in a bunch of people that just don't understand that you can talk about the subject without being waylaid by Southern Perversion Law or the ADL.
Yeah, well, you know, this is interesting, John. I'm glad you brought up the Vatican, because I want to, if we can kind of get circular here, I want to throw something out here. Okay, last night on my program here on RBN, I very specifically said that Louis Libby, who just got convicted in this perjury case, I referred to him as a Jewish criminal. And I said he was part of a Jewish conspiracy, part of a Jewish crime spree. Now, I qualified that very carefully by saying that if Louis Libby had been convicted of having robbed a bank because he wanted to pay his wife's jewelry bills, or if he went out and raped somebody because rapists do what they do, I wouldn't call that a Jewish crime. And I wouldn't even bother mentioning the fact that he was Jewish. However, I believe that Louis Libby's crimes, in furtherance of the ultimate goal of getting the United States in the war against Iraq, were ideologically and politically and religiously driven to promote the Jewish Zionist agenda, or what you might want to reverse and call the Zionist Jewish agenda. So that's why I said that Louis Libby was a Jewish criminal who was part of a Jewish conspiracy, and that the whole push for getting us into war was a Jewish crime spree. On the other hand, I will say this much, that if the Vatican, for whatever reason, was under the threat of invasion from, I don't know, Serbia, the Serbians don't like the Roman Catholic Church for the most part. If the Serbians wanted to invade the Vatican City, I'm here to tell you, even though many, many members of my family are devout Roman Catholics on one side of the family, I would not be calling for war against Serbia, because I don't believe that it's the responsibility of the United States to police the world. And I would have to say that, you know, if the Vatican couldn't raise its army to fight the Serbians, I'd have to say, well, I'm sorry, I might be a little sympathetic to the Vatican, but I just don't think it's America's business getting involved in foreign conflicts. That's the same attitude that I have always had toward the Middle East and toward the state of Israel. There's one big problem, though, John. That is the fact that in this country, we only have one serious lobby promoting one side of the Middle East conflict, and that is the Israeli lobby. Unfortunately, in Washington, we don't have an American lobby that is saying, hey, maybe it's not in America's interests to get involved with either side in the conflict in the Middle East.
Or we don't have our lobby over there in Israel. And you know, any time that you talk about a subject such as this, immediately what people want to do is say, oh, they're being anti-Semitic. And you know, that, to me, that is absolutely insane, because does it make me anti-Catholic by talking about the diocese protecting homosexual priests?
And that's a fact. I mean, no, that doesn't make you anti-Catholic. But now there may be a few extremists out there who might say that you're anti-Catholic for daring to discuss that. But I will say this much: I'm willing to bet you $100 that if you made that, you'd be less attacked for making that statement about the Vatican than then you would be making a statement about the power of the Israeli lobby in Washington. I told you earlier today off the air, I opened up the Washington Jewish Week newspaper here a couple weeks ago, and they had a story about Ron Paul having uttered a slur against the Jews. And I'm saying to myself, you know, Ron Paul is a good man who is very temperate in his language, and I've never seen him uttering a slur against anybody, really, when it comes right down to it. And, you know, I looked to see what this slur was that Ron Paul had allegedly uttered. What it was, he said that the Israeli lobby could be considered one of the bad lobbies in Washington. In other words, the activities of that lobby were not always necessarily in America's interests. That was called a slur. Now, that had nothing whatsoever to do with Jewish people as individuals or for that matter, the Jewish religion itself.
Because
and yet they say that's a slur.
Because they already know if Ron Paul were president, Ron Paul, for the $3 billion a year plus, with all the contracts, all the military equipment aside from that, that we wouldn't be over there fighting. And realistically, this is what it is. It's for the Israeli roadmap to peace, that he would not be funding this. He would be the guy there that would actually be brokering a peace between Israel and all of its Arab neighbors.
Yes, exactly. I think that's fair to say, and I think and you know, the thing is, Ron Paul would be doing it from a point of view as an American president that would place America's interests first and foremost.
And that's
because but when America is as powerful as it is, although we may well be on the decline, America has that option. That's nice that America has that option, but unfortunately right now in the Middle East, really around the world, we are not perceived as being an honest broker precisely because the perception, the correct perception is that the Israeli lobby has so much power in Washington.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the issue of war, and the way I read the list here of war and what we've been involved in. World War One, that was not one, that was an armistice only. World War Two, it was an endgame standoff with the USSR. They ended up stealing Poland and half of Europe.
Yeah.
China, our friends over there, even though we've not actually gone to war with China, China kicked America out under the communist rule in 1947. Korea, we didn't win that one. We were pushed south, the demarcation line and the demilitarized zone. We've been there supposedly battling the communists. And the North Koreans have been taught from birth almost, every man, woman, and child over there believes that if America has anything to do with North Korea, we are going to be there to occupy their country, and they will literally, man, woman, and child, fight to the death against America. You look at Vietnam. Well, we had to escape by helicopter. You look at Lebanon, the Marines killed, and the U.S. had to flee. Somalia, another disaster. Americans killed, and we had to get out of there. Yugoslavia, that was a disaster, split in pieces, still is. Iraq, that war has been lost.
There's... Oh, no, John, we had mission accomplished 3 years ago. Didn't you see that nice picture of the president on that aircraft carrier?
Yeah. Yeah. Afghanistan, same thing. It was a disaster over there. The Taliban are back in force, but the Taliban was funded by the CIA and the U.S. to fight the Ruskies over there. And then we claim that we don't have anything to do with the Taliban, but yet they're back in power. The poppy fields are yielding more than they ever have. Drugs are flowing around the world, a world for clandestine off-budget projects, or black ops, as they like to call them. So we have this billion-dollar boondoggle, trillion-dollar boondoggle that we're involved in the Middle East right now. We're getting people killed right and left, American soldiers. Some people... Michael, put it up to 1 million Iraqis that have been killed. Some people say it's 750,000, but with all the depleted uranium poisoning over there, all of what is going on over there, you might as well put it at 1 million.
Yeah, that's a good round number, yeah.
Saddam Hussein was accused of killing his own people, but they were about 1,800. But see, Iraq is better without Saddam Hussein. Over there, we have a civil war going on now between the Sunnis and the Shiites and other factions. There's a full-blown civil war over there. More people are going to die. We are just painted targets driving around and walking up and down the streets doing dynamic entries. This is a no-win scenario. And you brought Ron Paul up. Did you watch the debates last night?
No, unfortunately, I don't have cable. Or, well, maybe fortunately I don't have cable,
yeah,
but
maybe.
I missed the debates. Yeah.
Well, and again, they didn't. This was Wolf Blitzer. By the way, do we happen to know Wolf Blitzer's real name?
I always assumed it was Wolf Blitzer, but what is it? Do you know?
I don't know,
no.
But if somebody out there does. I mean if you look at this stuff and you go, holy mackerel, is there anybody out there that's not getting this? You know, 73% of the Council on Foreign Relations claim to be Jews. 73% that they're trying to deep six this country and give us a new world order. Now, I'm sorry. It's not 1 or 2% of the population in this country that are Jewish. but we have 73% in Council on Foreign Relations, where that organization was set up to meld us into a global government. Now, I'm getting a little miffed here and a little mystified. We'll talk more with Michael Collins Piper right after this.
Priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said. The Constitution was.
You know, when you look at some of the people that are names are recognized throughout history, and you start to track these people back and who they really were. Leon Trotsky. Okay. He was part of the Bolshevik Revolution in the USSR, but this guy was born David Bronstein. I have said on this program, Michael, that if we would have rolled into Russia, okay, they gave us a helping hand with fighting fascism and Nazism and their Nazi Socialist Party, but there was one guy that wanted to turn his tanks and roll into Russia and to make sure that Uncle Joe Stalin and his renowned band of people there did not do what eventually took place after World War II, the carving up of Europe and having to deal with communism. If we would have rolled into Russia and defeated Joe Stalin, Europe would be totally different. We would not have had worldwide communism outbreak the way we had it. We would not have socialism as much as we do in the world today. But you say these things, and people look at you like, oh, you're just an anti-Semitic. You want to blame the Jews for everything. No, I'm going to assign blame to the Jews that are deserving of blame. I don't have to paint any fancy pictures. I don't have to embellish. I don't have to do anything except report the facts. And this is, Michael, my point, is that a lot of them stay away from it because they don't understand what they're dealing with. They're afraid to talk about it because they don't want to be painted into a corner of being anti-Semitic, or they don't want to be viewed as being counter to the prevailing political winds.
Oh, well, you know, and, you know, I understand that, John, because, you know, it's been said that there's nothing more terrible in the United States today. Different people have commented on this in different realms. That, you know, you can call someone a pedophile or you can call them a bank robber or a rapist, but if you call someone anti-Semitic, that is about the worst thing you can call someone in this country today. And as I say, that's not a flippant comment from me. I've seen that. I've seen various people of mainstream opinion makers say that. In other words, what they're saying is that you know, to make such a charge against someone, you better be able to back it up, because if you put that in the public discourse that someone's an anti-Semite, that's the end of their career as a journalist. That's the end of their career as a politician. You know, that will put you to bed once and for all. So there's good reason for people to be concerned about that. You know, I've found in my own experience that I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. You know, I have had Jewish friends over the years, no particularly close Jewish friends per se, but I went to a school that the on-campus population was about 60% Jewish. It's either 40 or 60% Jewish. You know, I had a lot of Jewish friends. There were, you know, it just the way it was. I had a roommate, even when I was working for Liberty Lobby, which was considered an anti-Semitic organization, I had a Jewish roommate whose last name was no less than Israel. He is now a member of the United States Congress, Steve Israel from New York. Now, admittedly, Steve and I ended our friendship many, many years ago, but nonetheless, he knew what Liberty Lobby was all about, and he knew that I worked for Liberty Lobby because I supported America First foreign policy.
Right.
He knew that I was a critic of Israel. In fact, I remember one time he said, "Is it all right if I call Liberty Lobby?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, was my last name Israel?" I said, "Yeah, call in, stop by if you want." You know, so the thing is, you know, I have had Jewish friends, but all of these Jewish friends who were even that I was relatively close to, they knew my opinions on the Middle East, but they also knew that I treated them as human beings. I didn't treat them any different from someone who was a Catholic or a Hindu or a Buddhist.
You know, when I was in boot camp in the military, there was this one kid from New York, and his name was Ira Sinchev. And Ira could never get anything right. And I remember one night we were out on maneuvers where they shoot the flares up and you have to freeze. And when the flares go out, you have to run like all get out. Well, evidently he wasn't running fast enough. And some people in my platoon figured it was time that they'd come down on Ira and knock him around a bit. Well, I started knocking the guys down that were knocking him down, and they pretty much left him alone. Well, Ira didn't make it through boot camp. They booted him out. But we come to find out that while Ira was always kind of preoccupied and never seemed like he was really of this earth because he was always tripping on LSD. Now, but having said that, I mean, I didn't know that at the time, but I couldn't see anybody picking on somebody because it looked like the guy was really trying. And I didn't want anybody to be picked on. And after I interceded on that kid's behalf, they kind of quit picking on him. But, you know, this whole thing is if you talk about the Jews that you're anti-Semitic and you hate Jews, That is not the truth. And I want to make that understood and made very clear to people out there that because you identify people that are involved in criminal acts, you go to the root of communism or socialism, whatever the case may be, and you name the names, you're not being anti-Semitic. You are simply exposing those that have been in on some very, very bad things. And in this country, we've got people that absolutely hate Christianity, and it keeps running back to the same circles, the same Jewish circles. Now, we got maybe 2% of the population here in this country that's Jewish, and the majority of people in this country are Catholic, why do they keep wanting to destroy Christianity? We'll take the break here. We'll be right back with Michael Collins Piper right after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
You know, we talk about Ron Paul maybe not getting a fair shake from CNN, and they're stepping fetchings for real powers in this country. And when you talk about the controlled press or media or outlets in this country, there are six Jewish companies that own 96% of the world's media. Okay, let me repeat that one more time. 96% of the world's medias. Okay, we're talking not only TV networks, we're talking film studios, national public radio, newspapers, magazine, publishing houses, report and historical sources. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mentioned that 73% of the membership of the Council on Foreign Relations is Jewish. I talk about all of these issues, and I'm being told that, well, wait a minute, there's a percentage of people in there that aren't Jewish. Yeah? Okay, in a democracy, 51%. 51% in a democracy decides that they don't like a certain class or group of people, and 51% that the other votes that the other 49% should be put to death. Or let's take another tact with this. In business, there's two partners. One's 51% ownership, the other's 49%. The controlling interest is that 51%. When we have control of media, newspapers, magazines, television, production companies, Hollywood, you name it, you have people that are here to bring down the United States, and their membership is 73% Jewish, as in with the CFR. Michael, it's no stretch here to say there's something very, very rotten in Denmark.
Yeah, it's like it opens up the question, is this an ideological thing? Is this a religiously driven thing? Is there some sort of fanaticism here? And this is what I have actually heard in conversations with Jewish people, not necessarily friends of mine, but with Jewish people who have contacted me over the years, and they've said, and I remember I had a call on my show here on RBN one night from somebody, and it's been expressed to me this way, that, okay, yeah, there are these powerful Jewish organizations like the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee. They all have interloping agendas. Sometimes they differ, most of the time they don't. But those organizations, they're very elite organizations. They don't necessarily represent all of the Jewish people. There are a lot of Jewish people that don't go along with the agenda. And a lot of those people who don't go along with the agenda, they are attacked in the media as self-hating Jews. Like Mark Lane, who for years was a lawyer for the Spotlight and got us out of many scrapes. Mark Lane, born Jewish, but very anti-Zionist and a critic of the activities of organized Jewish groups, but certainly not a self-hating Jew. You know, many, many people like this around the country, so they kind of take the rap for what some of these powerful elite organizations are doing. And, I try to pound, but it comes back to what I said, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, if you even talk about the subject, you're going to be called an anti-Semite. And then if you turn around and say, well, you know, I have Jewish friends, or I know people who are Jewish who disagree with, the minute you even say anything like that, they say, well, that proves that you're anti-Jewish, and therefore you're part of the agenda of Adolf Hitler and part of the agenda of the people who threw Jews down wells and blamed them for the Black Death and things like this. And then, you know, the Holocaust is brought up, you know, and it's you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Well, and it's interesting to me that we can talk about this, but we can barely speak about this on air. And we're not doing it in a whisper. For as long as this network is here, we will go after all enemies of the United States, foreign and domestic. I don't give a damned if they're Arab. I don't care if they're Israeli. I don't care if they're Russian. I don't care if they're Chinese. I don't care if they're Somalian. I don't care if they're Filipino. I don't care if they're Korean. I don't care if they're German. I don't care if they're French. I don't care who they are. When we are talking about, Michael, this republic and the ways that it has been attacked, and there are groups of people that are on top of this unholy triad of the banking system, government, and corporations. And what I've just described is the triad or the three-prong approach to bring around world government. If we take a look at the situation, who is out there pushing for this and the demise of America, because here in this country, we are a republic. We have a rule of law. But suffice it to say, if these people from the ADL or their lackeys like Southern Perversion Law, Morris Slees as I like to call him, when you have people like this going after Christianity or anybody that has the symbology of Christianity, ergo, one case in point, Judge Roy Moore with the Ten Commandments in the rotunda of the State Supreme Court building, that's who was behind that, was the ADL and Southern Poverty Law, to get that pulled out of the rotunda. Why? When the majority of this country is Christian, why do we keep having these Jewish groups and affiliates going after Christianity in this country? Why?
You know, this is the thing, John. As I always point out, you know, I'm not a particularly religious person. I was brought up in a family where there just wasn't much religion in the household. Both sides were Christian, contrary to rumors that I'm the grandson on both sides of rabbis. But needless to say, so I've never been religious, but it's always offended me when I've seen these Jewish organizations like the ADL, the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee, Southern Poverty Law Center, and affiliated organizations fighting against something really so innocuous, I hate to use that term in reference to the Ten Commandments, but I mean, is that really so offensive? Are those Ten Commandments, they, you know, wherever they came from, whether some guy who, a caveman carved them out, or whether the God himself sent them down, there's nothing really harmful about the Ten Commandments. And yet, because they are so considered a core to religion and the centrality of religion in American life, there are these Jewish groups that have just gone overboard in trying to outlaw them for all intents and purposes.
Well, and to the point where they want to pass hate crime laws in this country to make it punishable by federal law if you are deemed to be an anti-Semite.
Oh, an anti-anything. You know, it really, I mean, this is the thing, you know, I've seen, you know, the, you know, black groups have joined in, and gay rights groups have joined in, and Arab American groups have joined in. Every possible person who wants to cast himself as a minority. It just seems like nobody in this country wants to think of themselves as an American. They have to be hyphenated for some reason or another.
Right.
But in any case, what's happened here is that we've now, you know, Jim Tucker here at American Free Press always says, "I never heard of a love crime." You know, I've never heard, and you know they. But what they've done, you know, they want to engineer what you're allowed to think and say about this group or that group. And then if you, but you know, the thing is, I always say, you know, if a black person goes out and calls somebody a honky and then hits them over the head with a hammer, and he just happens to call him a honky because that's the first thing that comes to mind, they're going to charge him with a hate crime,
right,
too, and he's going to get 10 extra years.
That's right.
You know, so it goes, you know, it goes both ways, but unfortunately it always comes back to the fact that you have the so-called leaders of these different factions in our society that are always fighting back and forth and really, I believe, being manipulated.
Yes.
To go up against one another.
One in particular would be the National Socialist Movement in this country. I don't know, and any time that anybody comes out and starts to point out the criminality of these individuals, meaning Jews or people are parading around as Jews, hiding under that umbrella or that protectionism of being called anti-Semite. If you say anything about any Jewish criminal, well then, you know, Meyer Lansky that started Vegas. I'm sorry, that wasn't anybody else. The guy was Jewish. If you look at the porn industry, the billion-dollar porn industry, look who's in charge of that. These are all things that are degrading and debasing America. But when you talk about this and you point to the people that originally started this stuff or the people that are still involved in it, well, you're some kind of anti-Semitic.
Well, all right. Now, I'll give you a very good example here. You brought up Las Vegas. We know it's very interesting. You know, Meyer Lansky and several of his partners came up with most of the money on their own through their illicit operations to start the Flamingo Hotel. Oddly enough, I used to know the daughter of one of Meyer Lansky's partners. I went to school with her. But in any case, very beautiful young Jewish girl. But in any case, you know who else provided a lot of the loans to Meyer Lansky and his Jewish partners?
You got me.
A Mormon church-controlled bank. Now, I think that was a bad thing for the Mormon church.
I was happy to expecting you to say it was the Vatican.
No, it was not the Vatican. It was a Mormon. Yeah, it would have been funny. It may well be there, but the point is this: you know, in that particular case, I wish I had the details right in front of me, but it's documented history. But the fact is, the Mormon Church essentially, and it's some key people profited from the establishment of this Jewish controlled enclave of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, to use a choice term phrase here, you know, plus gambling too. Got to throw gambling in there. But the thing is, we're not blaming all Mormons for what came out of it. nor are we blaming all Jews. But, you know, the fact is that when you start looking at certain elements involved in a lot of these things, you can't get away from the fact that you do find a predominant Jewish influence. And that often comes back to the fact that it is religiously driven. And that's what you find in the Jewish impact upon American foreign policy in particular. And that's where the United States has gotten in trouble, because most of the people in this world are not Jews, number one, and nor are they even Muslims. But, of course, the Muslim population in this world is extraordinary. But there are people all over this world that look at the United States and they say, you fools, you're such a great, powerful country, and yet you've allowed a tiny minority with a lot of money and a lot of power to get in control of your foreign policy, and now you're using the American flag to go around the world and cause trouble and devastation. And that causes people around the world to think not very highly of the American people in general. That's a problem.
Let's go to the phones here. Thanks for holding callers. Rick in Ohio. Hello, Rick.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
How are you, Michael?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
All righty.
Okay. Hey, John.
Yes.
To defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, is it... I could add a little bit to that. I'll say, how about to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, white or Jew? Now, is it the fault of the patriot if more of those enemies turn out to be domestic?
I would not think so.
Is it the fault of the patriot if more of those enemies turn out to be Jew?
I wouldn't think so.
Yes. Okay, now to switch over to anti-Semitism. I will be anti-Semitic as long as Ernst Zundel is in prison. I will be anti-Semitic as long as the Federal Reserve and the Central Bank is still in control of our economic lives. I will be anti-Semitic as long as the press and the media in the United States is controlled by Jews. I will be anti-Semitic as long as Jews try to control and enact more and more tyrannical laws throughout Europe and the United States. I will be anti-Semitic as long as the Jews keep telling lies about our people, the white Europeans and the white Americans. And if you want to get just an indicator of the kind of lies these people like to tell, go to a website and download a movie. The website is onethirdoftheholocaust.com.
All right.
I am not ashamed of being anti-Semitic. In fact, when I look at the world and what is going on today, what has been going for the last 100 years, I am damn proud to be anti-Semitic.
Well, and let me just say this, Mike. By picking up that moniker, what you're doing is actually feeding their fire. Because you've heard the conversation that we've had here. We are being accused of, and I must say this, Michael, I don't know if you've ever done a web search on your name on the ADL, but I did. They will not touch me except for one issue, and that was my involvement in helping the militias come to fruition back in the 90s. That's as far as they'll take me.
Interesting.
Yeah, even though that I have been painted by other groups or other individuals that are always grousing, oh, RBN, that's an anti-Semitic network. No, it is not, because we make the distinctions. History is what it is, and it cannot be changed because somebody wishes it so. But if you go on the ADL's website, they are not going to give me the time of day because they don't want to make a pointer to me talking about subject matter such as this in people and Jews in this country that aren't involved in this conspiracy. They do not want to give us the light of day. But, Mike, my point to you is, do not pick up the moniker that you're trying to hang around your neck, because you are not anti-Semitic, no more than I am or Michael Collins Piper is. Don't pick up their verbiage.
I'm not going to run away when they throw a name at me, though.
Well, I understand that. But
you know, John, Mike Piper here, you know what I would say, though, about this? They've actually changed. This is part of the problem. They've actually changed the dictionary definition now of anti-Semitism, and they say that even if you're sympathetic to Israel's enemies or critical of Israel, that now constitutes anti-Semitism. So I always say, okay, well, if that's what you're going to say anti-Semitism is, that's the dictionary definition, I say, well, yes, I am anti-Semitic. You know, that's the approach that I take. Now, you know, I have to say what Rick from Ohio here has said, you know, I can understand precisely what he's talking about because, I mean, when you see, like Rick has pointed out, it's Jewish groups that are putting people in jail, that they are the ones who lobbied for the laws to put people in jail for, quote-unquote, denying the Holocaust. And yet, every day here in the Washington Post or in the Washington Times, we're constantly seeing these stories about how awful it is that that Arab governments or Muslim governments in the Middle East or elsewhere are putting people in jail because of their political opinions. And that's a really terrible thing. That's the most horrible thing you can think of. But these same newspapers, Jewish-owned or Jewish-controlled, think it's just fine and dandy for people to go to jail because they say less than 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust.
Exactly. And Rick in Ohio, thanks for your call. And consider what I said about that. You know, let's not pick up their moniker that they're trying to hang around our neck. All right, we'll take the break here. Mike and Vandy, we'll also get to your calls after this break with Michael Collins Piper. We'll be right back.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
We are back. Let's go to Mike in Arizona. Hello, Mike.
John?
Yes.
Hello, John, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, great. Hey, John,
Michael Collins Piper needs 2 hours in the evening.
John, cut that man off.
Well, see, we tried to do this before, Mike, and
you tried to impose that upon me. Mike
went kicking and screaming, and he did comply. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't something that Michael wanted to do. So unless you want to hold a gun to his head every day for a broadcast for 2 hours, you can have at it.
Okay. All right. Hey, well, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I hold no animosity towards the Arabs. You know, the thing I'm noticing, though, it's not the Chinese Americans or the French Americans or the Germans or the Africans or the Catholics or the Mormons or the Baptists that are lobbying Congress for us to invade Iraq or Iran. So what's so wrong with identifying the actual people that are doing the lobbying and pushing for these things to happen?
Well, and that is the point.
Yeah.
Why is it that we cannot point out who these people are and what they represent? Because, you know, let me just ask you, Mike, and these are rhetorical questions. You don't have to respond if you don't want to, but where is it that 2% of the population in this country wants to do away with Christianity? Or where is it that, you know, that we have groups and organizations with, I mean, they're swimming in money, that the preponderance of them are Jewish, that they are there. And this is not a theory. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's a working model that we're talking about. It is in play right now. That the Council on Foreign Relations, being 73% comprised of their membership of government, of corporations, of foundations, so on and so forth, 73% of them, and the Council on Foreign Relations is the stepsister, as you pointed out, Michael Collins Piper, is the stepsister of the Round Table in England, designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to deconstruct this country.
You know, it's funny, John. Before I came on the air this afternoon, I was talking to one of RBN's regular listeners. He goes by Bob from Washington. And, you know, Bob coined a little phrase, or it's a pretty simple phrase that really represents what we're talking about here. He said, the Rothschild Global Network. And I said to Bob, you know, Bob, it's kind of interesting because RBN is going up against RGN. And that's what it all comes down to. The Republic Broadcasting Network stands as a media alternative to the Rothschild Global Network, because that's what we're really talking about here in the bigger picture. The Rothschild family, which has been around for several hundred years, piling up, obviously, trillions upon trillions of dollars, funding the Zionist movement, funding so many other massive fortunes, and underwriting people like the Rockefellers, who set up the Council on Foreign Relations in New York on behalf of the Rothschilds. And the State of Israel has just really become kind of like a little distraction in the bigger picture. Because, you know, what's happening is, you know, the Rothschilds are expanding their power and influence, and the State of Israel is standing out there like a sore thumb, and yet it's become pivotal to so much of what's happening in the world today.
Can you do me a favor, Michael? Can you hang around for a few minutes more? Because I'd like to take field these other calls.
Okay, I can stay on for about 10 more minutes, John.
Okay, great. Yeah. And okay. What I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, in the next hour, what I'm going to do is verbatim of the May 23rd, 1933, this is entered into the congressional record from Congressman Lewis T. McFadden. I can guarantee you've never heard this in its entirety on any network in this country. I am going to read what somebody that was in the Republican Party and also the Democrat Party back in the 20s and the 30s, I'm going to read to you verbatim what he entered in to the congressional record, and this is going to astound you. This is true living history that has not been deleted or Orwellianized, if you'd like. Okay, Mike, Vandy, and Ray, hang on. We'll take your calls right after this short break for the network.